Today's question concerns translation issues that we sometimes encounter when we read the Bible. The question is as follows. Can you direct me to a biblical explanation of why Matthew 17:21 is omitted in some translations and included in others? I have friends who are intent upon the idea that prayer and fasting is the only way to break some strongholds. Thank you. You may remember Matthew 17:21 is a passage where the disciples are unable to cure this epileptic, and Jesus asked them to bring this fellow to him, and Jesus rebuked this demon. Apparently he was demon possessed, and the disciples then came to Jesus and asked him, well, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus mentioned, well, because of your unbelief. And then he goes on to say in Matthew 17:21, however, when he talks about this particular type of demonic situation, he says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And what we're seeing in this situation is we're seeing different translation philosophies. And in particular, in the Greek behind the New Testament, there's lots of manuscripts. So the first thing we want to say is that there's more evidence for the Greek New Testament than for any other ancient document by orders of magnitude. And that's a whole different discussion. But when we look at the manuscripts for the Greek Old Testament, of the thousands that there are, if you analyze the differences between them, and there are differences, minor spellings, additional words, sometimes words are dropped out. And the thing to recognize about those differences is that we have so many of the manuscripts, and we analyze the differences, which have been exhaustively analyzed by a number of people who devoted their lives to this process. And they find out that basically, the vast majority of the differences are extremely minor. They can be like a single letter, or ordering of the words is changed, or an additional preposition appears, or a slightly different form of the word. But none of them affect major doctrines. So the question then becomes, when you're looking at your modern translations, why do you see a difference in the English? And the main reason is that of these various translations, they fall into certain manuscript families, certain groups of manuscripts that have common aspects to them. Those would be considered a family. And so analyzing the groups of manuscripts into different families, and you end up with also different translation philosophies of translation, and in particular, different translation committees behind different modern translations have differences of opinion about what manuscripts or manuscript family represents the best manuscripts to use. And in particular, when we say best, we're always saying the same thing, which is, which of the manuscript families most faithfully represents the original, which we don't have. The originals are called the autographs, or the autographa in plural. We don't have the original manuscripts for either the Hebrew or the Greek behind the Bible, but we have this huge amount of manuscript evidence going back very close to the point of origin, especially in the New Testament. And so the question is, which manuscript family is the best, most faithfully represents what was originally in the Greek that was written in the original? And there's two main differences in philosophy that we're seeing behind the differences in the translations. One philosophy says the oldest will be the best. The oldest manuscript that you can find is going to be closer in time to the original, and therefore it's had less time or copying. It's been replicated less frequently, so it's less likely that minor errors have crept in during the copying process as the manuscript has gone forward in time. And that's the philosophy that the vast majority of the modern translations take. And so they would put a great deal of emphasis on primarily two older manuscripts. One's called Aleph and the other's called B or Beta. One's Aleph, of course, is based as the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a symbol they use to represent that particular one. And then the other one, which is B, is B being a symbol, a Greek symbol, Beta, basically, in uppercase. So these two particular manuscripts are considered the oldest ones, and so modern translations tend to go with those. But there's another philosophy, which is that older doesn't necessarily mean better, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And in that philosophy, what you're looking to do is you're looking at the majority witness. What do the vast majority of manuscripts have in them? And the belief there is that the early church recognized the more reliable manuscripts and copied them more widely, and they were more widely distributed and used. And therefore, statistically, they're representing the most pure stream. And there's also this issue when you analyze this idea of copying and corruptions coming in, that statistically it's very difficult for a small, narrow group of manuscripts to overthrow the rest of the witness. And so the proponents of the majority witness would say that the older ones, they might be older, but they're very minor in distribution, or they didn't have as wide a range of distribution, and therefore, statistically, they do not represent the best manuscripts. And here's another little illustration that gets at the idea. It's overly simplistic, but you can see how you can't necessarily assume that older is better. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that we had a cataclysm that overthrew our civilization to where a lot of people died, and a small group of humans were left on some part of the planet, and they survived, and then after hundreds and hundreds of years, after or maybe several thousand years, people had forgotten exactly what happened and all the history, and they had some archaeological digs, and they were digging in the United States, and they came up with the New World Translation, which is a Jehovah's Witness translation. The New Testament portion was completed in 1950. Let's also assume that they had some means of very accurately dating things. And they were able to establish that this particular Bible they unearthed, this New World Translation, was dated to 1950. And they did more excavation, and they came up with a copy of the English Standard Version, the ESV. And they were able to date that as well. And sure enough, that one was done in 2018. So clearly, the New World Translation is the older one, the Jehovah's Witness Bible. It's older by some 68 years. And so clearly the older must be the better one, right? Well, obviously in this contrived example, I've contrived it this way just to illustrate the point, it's not the better translation. The English Standard Version is a better translation. And so the older one in this case is not necessarily better. So even though we assume that the older one is closer to the originals, which it is in time, it may not be closer when it comes to fidelity. So that's something to consider. This is a little bit different, this example, because they're both English translations, and they're not just copies of the Greek. So it's not just a matter of copying here, it's also translation between languages. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it's use this example with a grain of salt. It's fairly contrived. So those are the two different ideas about how, you know, the main ideas about how to look at these manuscripts. Do you go with the older ones, or do you go with the most widespread distribution? And when we're looking at the older ones, we're primarily looking at just two manuscripts, and they also have a lot of disagreements between the two of them. So they don't even represent a consistent witness themselves between the two of them. So that's what you're seeing behind these differences. Another thing that comes into this idea of picking a manuscript or a manuscript family is there are other issues about preservation besides just what ones seem to be more popular. For example, the two oldest ones, come from areas that are very dry, right? So Alexandria, region of Alexandria, Egypt. And so you have this situation where manuscripts going way back were on parchment and vellum and different sorts of materials. And those materials don't necessarily hold up in a human environment. Like, for example, you're probably aware of the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? So the Dead Sea Scrolls are, they're basically witnesses to the Old Testament text, the Hebrew Old Testament text. And prior to their discovery, the oldest Hebrew texts we were working with were approximately around 900 AD. And the Dead Sea Scrolls moved that back to about 150 BC, somewhere around there. Well, that whole discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls had to do with these caves that are in the Dead Sea area. Well, the Dead Sea area is like a desert. It's very, very dry. And so the lack of humidity and the preservation of these scrolls in clay jars in these caves meant that they were very well preserved, and they didn't fall apart. Well, that's a lot different than a place where it would be humid, where the parchments and so on would degrade. And so this is one of those situations as well. So the majority witness texts tend to come up more from the Byzantine area, further north up toward Turkey, and where we would say is Constantinople or Istanbul. And of course, manuscripts in those areas wouldn't store as well. So that's another reason why they might not be as old, right? So it's a very complicated process to look at all this data and information. And so part of what I'm trying to say is that manuscript analysis and study is not nearly as simple as it might appear at first. Having said that, now let's look at these two major groups of translations. One group follows what would be referred to as the majority text, and you'll see that abbreviated as MT, capital MT. Now, if you see MT in association with the Old Testament, that's referring to a different acronym, the Masoretic text. But in relation to the New Testament, the capital M, capital T is the majority text. And that's a family that's behind the King James, well, especially the New King James. And so in the King James and the New King James, the philosophy of translation for the New King James would be following the majority witness, not necessarily siding with the oldest text. Most other modern translations would follow what you would consider to be the oldest texts, which are based heavily on Aleph and B. And those would be, you know, like the NASB, the ESV, the NIV, just a lot of the modern translations, almost all of the ones except what I mentioned, the King James and New King James. And that other text family is often referred to as the critical text, or sometimes it's referred to as the Nestle Allen or United Bible Society manuscript family, and you'll see the abbreviation NA sometimes, or UBS referring to those. So one of the things you'll see in if you have a good modern translation, it's going to give you both. It's going to pick one to put in the main text based on which philosophy is favored. And then there will be a footnote, and if you follow down to the footnote, you'll see a little note that says, what is the variation? And so the New King James will show the majority text, and it'll footnote the NA or UBS family or text, and then the other translations will do the opposite. And then there's some translations that take kind of a middle ground, like the NASB and the HCSB, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which today is also known as the CSB. What they'll do is, in some cases where it's a variation that they want to make sure you're aware of and that you see, you might not check a footnote in every case, they will leave it in the main text but put it in square brackets. So it's got these little brackets around it, and there will be a footnote. And sometimes the footnote says things like, well, this is not in the better manuscripts. And of course, better there is pretty, it's highly subjective. What is better? There's a big argument about what is better. So that's why these differences come up. And this same difference that you see in Matthew 17:21 also occurs in Mark 9:29, which is the companion passage, which says similar. It talks about coming out with prayer and fasting. In some cases, it omits fasting. In other manuscripts, it doesn't. And so that's why these two passages are different. They're consistently different because it's the two different manuscripts that we're seeing, or families that are being favored in the translation.